much, Tracy. Again, happy birthday to everybody out there. Tracy and Matthew and to my father-in-law, Evan, celebrated his birthday yesterday. So lots of birthdays. Lots and lots of birthdays. So awesome. So glad to be here with you guys. My name is Pastor T. Thank you guys if you're out there joining us online. And just everybody in here to see your smiling faces is so good. So I'm going to be reading from my iPhone today. I left my iPad at home. So if you see me looking up this, I'm not texting or anything like that. Oftentimes you see me up here in the front. I'm like going away at it. But I promise you it's related to what we're doing in the service and not anything else. So I want to start off with just sharing some quick testimonies. I want to just speak about what happened yesterday at the Love Life event. And so I want to thank everybody, even if you weren't there in person, if you were just praying for us or you were joining us online, I want to say thank you so much for your support. It was a great, great turnout. Not even the weather could keep people from showing up. And we had people from so many different churches, so many different places in the region. You know, people were driving as far as Clayton and Anger to come up and really bless what God is doing in Chapel Hill. So I thought that was really amazing. And it was just a great and powerful testimony of unity in the church, of seeing, you know, people come together for the larger cause of Christ, you know, across theological differences and other things that could potentially separate churches. We were coming together to lift up the name of Jesus right there in one of the most, darkest places in our city, and to stand up there. And so it showed something of just what people will do for Jesus. You know, it was cold, it was rainy out there. And I honestly, when I arrived, I was like, I'm from the beach. And so I like warm, humid weather. I don't like the rain. I don't like cold. I don't like snow. And so those things, I like sand, I like salt water, and I like surf, you know, so I like those type of things. But when I got out there, it was so powerful that the prayer just really carried us through the whole entire time. And it just felt like it breezed by so fast. And there was just a powerful testimony coming out of that of when we were there. There are lots of groups that meet as well on those days. We're celebrating those 40 weeks of life. So they're going to be out there the next kind of 40 weeks, I guess, every Saturday, same time, showing up there. And so I would love to have just a representation from our church. I think is something that we want to partner with, especially it being in our own backyard right there. It's something practical that we can do. I like to call it active intercession. And so, but one of the testimonies is that, you know, they show up, they even pray for the workers. You know, they have workers who are out there escorting people into the building, telling them where to go. And apparently one of the Love Life volunteers was there to talk and speak with some of the workers. And they probably had a relationship, I'm guessing, built up over time. But on this particular day, one of the workers actually just stopped and said, I can't do this anymore, and literally just walked off, you know. And so that was so incredible to hear that and have that happen. So thank you guys again for just praying. You know, we believe lives are saved just as we show up. That's one of the most powerful things that we can do. And so today I'm going to be preaching, and the title of this sermon is called Jesus Calling. We're going to be in the Song of Solomon. If you're at the Chop House, you guys are probably sick of hearing me preach about the Song of Solomon. I've been in that for a very long time, but I really think Jesus has some practical implications for today for us out of that. And so that's where we're going to be, Song of Solomon chapter 2. So you can go ahead and just bookmark that. We'll come back to it later as we start to read through some different things. But I want to go ahead and just, how many of you have an Apple device? How many of you remember when Apple first got started back in like 1980? You know, I remember I was born in 81. It's like a year before I was born. And I remember being in school, having the little green Apple logo come up on your computer and those things. They weren't as cool as they are today. You know, two guys in the garage, you know, working on circuit boards and things like that. But how many of you, you know, Apple is valued at over $900 billion today. As of like 2019, it was a $900 billion company almost more than that, way more than that. And so how many of you would have liked to invested in Apple very early on? How many of you would have liked that?
Yeah,
and got some stock in Apple. And so real quick, here's one. It's the second largest company by market capitalization. And so, you know, somewhere today, I don't know where their stocks are, but I know in 2018, it was around about $200 or somewhere around there. And so that means, but an initial investment, it was only 22 bucks a share. And so if you would have bought like 10 of those, you know, for $220 today, that would be valued at like over $100,000.
Wow.
You know, and so how many of you would like that kind of return on an investment? Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, me. Absolutely. I think all of us can raise our hands and agree with that. And so in the similar way, when we invest our time in the kingdom, our resources in the kingdom, when we are obedient to what Jesus is saying, or we are responding to the call of God in the way that he calls us, that there is an exponential return on that investment.
Yeah.
Matthew touched on this, you know, with the eternal rewards and things like that. There is an eternal investment and a reward system that Jesus has because he's really good. And so, but with any reward or any kind of investment, there are inherent risk that we must take, you know, with that. And so what we believe about him has to be put into action, which is faith. And the safest place to be, how many of you know, the safest place to be is out on the water with him, even if it's in a storm. The safest place is to be next to Jesus and not in the boat.
Come on.
All right. And so, but maybe that's easier said than actually done. And so in order for us, as we were talking about the new wineskins and things of this season, in order for us to receive those new wineskins, you know, that we must change and expand, you know, because wineskins are flexible and breathable, which means that they have to be stretched. And I believe God wants to stretch us out a little bit, you know. And so I used to be a trainer for a very long time. Gabe's going to do a show here. When is it? In April?
April 3rd.
Come on, man. Rooting for you, Bo. And so he knows a lot about lifting weights and things like that. And anything with your body, and Timberlake back there too, my man, I see you. And so those things of when you are trying to grow your muscles to hit that point of hypertrophy, you really have to stretch yourself. I mean, you have to knock your body out of a homeostatic balance. Your body wants to stay at this same level, and to work out is hard, not only because you don't want to do it, but because your body actually doesn't want to do it. It doesn't want to be shocked and challenged in that way. It wants to stay the same. And so even if you go through a workout routine for, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks or something, you can't stay at that for a year. You will plateau. And so in order for you to break through those plateaus, you have to challenge yourself and change it up constantly in order to receive those physical results that you wanted to see. And so in the same way, I feel like there's a couple of things. I feel like Jesus is calling us in the same way that he called in this. And so with the Song of Solomon, there are many different ways that it can be interpreted, you know, in different senses. You know, one is between God's love and his love for Israel, or another one is the sacred love of marriage, and another yet being just how Jesus and his love for the church. And that's more of where I'm going to be diving into today, is his love for the church and looking at that through that lens today as we look through this. And so right here, early on in this, I think there's a couple things that I'm going to highlight. And so just five things that I want us to kind of just dive into and wrap our minds around. Number one is that Jesus is calling us into deeper partnership with him. In this season, he is calling us into deeper fellowship and deeper partnership with him. We can't stay where we have been. That's been good. It's been great. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's calling us to a different place that's deeper in relationship with him. And I feel number two is that I feel that there is a new season in the spirit. I feel that there is a shift in the atmosphere. There's a change in the air, so to speak. And so number three is that Jesus is calling us to come away with him and out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
He's calling us. He's saying, hey, I love you. He's speaking tenderly to us. He's not speaking with the voice of a taskmaster or a harsh person or anything like that. But he's speaking tenderly and gingerly to us and inviting us to come away with him to new challenges, which require new levels of obedience to his voice. And so with that, new levels in the spirit come new levels of obedience and new ministry assignments as well. And so I believe not only for our church corporately are there going to be new ministry assignments that we're going to be birthed into and be birthed out of here as we build this year. But I believe personally for some of you sitting in this room that God may be transitioning you into a new season where there are new ministry assignments that are going to require some challenges for you to come away with Jesus and the God of power. And so number five is that this is all built on his leadership. And let's everybody say his leadership is good. Let's say that together. His leadership is good. And so we can trust him in that. Can somebody bring me just a water? My mouth is getting like super dry. And so I want to start out right here. Thank you, Matthew. Song of Solomon. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. And so what I'm going to do is read from verses 8 all the way down to verse 17. And then we're just going to go through and kind of go through verse by verse and highlight some different things that I believe the Lord is really saying here. All right. And so in the beginning of this, you know, just to kind of set the atmosphere for it, you know, you have the Shulamite, or let's just say the bride. She's sitting in this place of enjoying the Lord. They have been together. She's enjoying the relationship here, sitting under the shade trees, talking about sitting in his presence, enjoying him. You know, it was initial, and she's there in this place, and it's not a bad place, okay? So that's the first thing I just want to kind of preface this with, is that this isn't talking about the bad things, okay? And so we're not talking about all the bad things. We're talking about the good stuff, you know, but he's calling us to the better stuff and the God stuff. OK. And so she was sitting in this place, but then she gets awakened by Jesus in this sense, saying, hey, I want you to rise up and I want you to come away with me. I'm calling you away. And so he had set a place that was hedging her in, you know, where you're enjoying the presence. How many of you have been in that season of where you've enjoyed God's presence? And then all of a sudden you just felt a shift and things were just different. You knew that he had, you know, just, hey, this is a good place. Maybe it's your secret place time and things like that. But then he just is kind of, he's looking in and peering through that portal and saying, hey, come away with me. I got some different things. You know, and so she starts to see him in a new light, in a new side that she maybe has not recognized him before. And her initial reaction is fear. You know, she says, no, I can't do this. But he calls her to come away and come conquer some mountains with him. And in the same way, I think Jesus is saying that, is I think he is wanting to expand his kingdom here in Chapel Hill through this church. And he is challenging us and saying, hey, I got some assignments, I got some things I want you to do, and I want you, as I call you into deeper levels of partnership with me, to come and partner with me in this, you know?
Amen.
And so, right there, we're going to start off in verse 8. And so, all right, and I told you I'm reading from my phone today, so this is a little bit different. All right, so listen. This is out of the Passion Translation. I hear my lover's voice. I know it's him coming to me, leaping with joy over mountains, skipping in love over the hills that separate us, to come to me. Let me describe him. She starts to describe him. He is graceful as a gazelle, swift as a wild stag, so deer. Now he comes closer, even to the places where I hide. He gazes into my soul, peering through the portal as he blossoms within my heart. The one I love calls to me. So this is a shift. That was the church, or the bride, so to speak, speaking in a sense. And now this is the bridegroom king. This is the bridegroom responding. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling, come away with me. I have come to you as you have asked. Earlier on in chapter 1, she asked to come away with him. And so, to draw you to my heart and lead you out, for now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. The season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land. So he gives some physical examples in the land of what is to come, some signs of harvest, that the season of change is in the air. And so filling the air with the songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of life are now blossoming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers, there is a change in the air. There is a change in the air. That's something that came out, and the way we even got to this is through prayer, through revelation. As we were praying through the scriptures, this was actually revealed to us. We felt like we caught God's heart in that place of prayer, and we are locking on to that and just saying, hey, God, we want to pull what you have for us in the future. We want to bring that into our present day reality, just like David did. Okay? And so, arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove, hidden in the split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your voice. How beautiful your eyes of worship and lovely your voice in prayer. You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. So he gives her some things, some advice right here. They are raiding the budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. So he's saying, you don't have to do this alone. I can do it with you. And so then the bride speaks again right here. I know my lover is mine and I have everything in you, for we delight ourselves in each other. But until the day springs to life and the shifting shadows of despair or fear disappear. So she says the shifting shadows of fear disappear. Until that time, until the fear dissipates, turn around, my lover, and ascend to the holy mountains of separation without me until the new day fully dawns. Run on ahead. She tells him, go away. Like, I love you, but this, oh my goodness, this is too much. This is too risky. Go away for right now. Give me some time to think about this. Okay? So run on ahead like the graceful gazelle and skip like the young stag over the mountains of separation. Go on ahead to the mountain of spices. I'll come away another time. And so he comes to her and awakens her. And speaks to her, and initially, you know, this is what she had been crying out for. Turn to Song of Solomon, verse 1 here. Chapter 1, verse 1, the most amazing song of all by King Solomon. Let him smother me with his kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them in. Like the sweetest wine, your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out. So she is in love. She is madly, she's head over heels in love right here. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out. For your lovely name is flowing oil. No wonder the brides to be adore you. Draw me into your heart. She says, draw me away. I want to come away with you. But yet we see her response when he says come away is slightly different. And so we want to jump in here and explore some different things. And so our cry has been for what? For revival, for the presence of God to manifest. And we want to position ourselves in our heart to the right response of when Jesus says, hey, I want you to come away, that we respond with immediate obedience. You know, we want to follow when he says, come. And so in verses 8-9, go ahead and throw that up on the screen there. We're back in chapter 2 here. And so verses 8-9. So now I want to see, he wants her to rise up and walk in partnership. And so enjoying his presence. How many of you love the presence? I love your presence. We all do, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has plans and purposes that he wants us to partner with as well. And, you know, sometimes I've been in certain circles of where, you know, one thing is valued over the other and they kind of dishonor it when they say, like, hey, come over here, or, you know, like, you can get some people who are just into, like, all serving or all missions and things like that. And they're like, but this is the purposes of the Lord. Like, you got to get out of that place and come over here and just do this. Or I've been in certain prayer circles, you know, it's like, hey, this is the priority. We're going to pray. We're going to prioritize the presence. And this is it right here, because that moves over there, you know, and certain things. And I feel like the Lord is saying, you know, it's both and. He wants both of those in your life. He wants both of those to be honored. He never wants you to neglect the place of the presence in your life. He doesn't want you to leave that place, because everything flows out of there, out of your heart. You know, and he also wants you to partner with his purposes in the earth so that his kingdom advances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to move us into both of those. And so both of those are great realities of both presence and purpose, both covenant and kingdom. How many of you know when you get saved, there's certain times in your life where Jesus just kind of leaves you in this place almost like you're hedged in, because he's shoring up things in your heart about your identity. He's speaking his love over you so that you're sure of it in your heart, that you're confident in his love. And so, but as you come into the kingdom, there is a father, you know, and he speaks identity over you as a son or daughter, you know, but also as Jesus came to earth, Jesus is a king. And he represents a kingdom where he has responsibility to move in authority and power. And it's both and that we want to do here. And so it's not one or the other. He wants both realities developed in our spiritual life. And so he kind of comes in here and he reveals, you know, himself in a new way that maybe she hasn't recognized before, you know. And some of the things she talks about him being like a young stag. She sees him leaping over the mountains. Like, who is this? Who is this leaping on top of the mountains? He's presenting himself as a God of power. Mountains a lot of times can be obstacles or challenges that he's saying, I am the God. Nothing is too hard for me. We sang the song, you know, there's anything is possible. That's who he's presenting himself as. The God that there is nothing impossible for me. And he's saying, I want you to come away with me into that reality, into that place. I want you to leap on mountaintops with me. I want you to run with me. And so he draws us into that series and experience. And sometimes, you know, it can be different than the past seasons of our life where we were enjoying this sweet place of fellowship. And then Jesus comes in. You know, for me personally, there was a time in my life where I was working as an outreach director and doing like college ministry. And I was doing things in my city and had no grid for like world missions whatsoever. Didn't want to leave or do anything. I was good. I was content in that place. And then the Lord came and disrupted my rhythm of life. And asked me, do you want to come away with me? My response was yes, but there is some cost involved with that as well. And so it was me in that season of transition. I was beginning to experience him in new ways. And it set different paradigms in my mind. I saw him in just different ways that I had not seen him before and seen him move. And so, but it required a shift. It required me to come away with him and to say yes, to respond to him and go where he was saying go. And so, as we go down to verse 10, verses 10 through 13. The voice of the beloved King calls her into a new season of the Spirit. I believe that as this last year or so has come about, that there has been a change, a shift in the atmosphere. We all can agree with that, right?
Yeah.
And there's a change in the Spirit as Jesus is saying, I'm doing something new. And I want you to partner with me in that. And so we can recognize that voice as he speaks tenderly to us in love. But he also wants us to leave the place of comfort of maybe where we have been, where we've done things in a certain way, maybe ministry in a certain style or whatever it may be. But he's saying, I want you to come away into something different. And so sometimes that can be challenging. And so, you know, there are big challenges, you know, as he says, they're mountains. So these aren't like small hills. He wasn't God leaping over hills, you know, or, you know, in Lincolnton or right around here in Chapel Hill. We have foothills, you know. When I go to Lincolnton, I can look out my back door and I see really big mountains, you know. And so those are different. And so those are different obstacles. You know, and so in this, the first response that she has to him is that she is hesitant and she responds out of fear. You know, until that season of fear dissipates, she says, you know, go on ahead. You know, give me some time to think about this. And so I want to highlight something. And so four F's that I have that I think we can kind of battle through or work through. And so, and plus these are easy to remember, so they have little cartoons on there. I was feeling kind of, I don't know, like I'm telling you, don't want to get inside this little thing right in here because it's like Alice in Wonderland. Like sometimes you might go in and get on this bunny trail and who knows if you're coming out, you know? And so, but there's some real interesting stuff floating around up in here. My wife is a really good filter for me. So this is like the real good version of what I was working on before. And so the four F's. And so fears, foxes, failure, and future. So let's say that together. Fears, foxes, failure, and future. And so fears. Fear is not from God. And so fear is not for God. And so every time it creeps into your thinking, remind yourself of this. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so anytime that God calls you into something and that fear starts to creep up and tries to say, you can't do this, just remember that you have a sound mind, that he hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And so he begins to speak to you in a very affectionate and affirmative way so that you can press forward to do the assignment that you have been called to do. And so like, take for instance, like Timothy. In the Bible himself, Timothy was called into a new assignment. And so he's basically doing an internship with Paul. He's like, and Paul comes to him. He's like, hey, Timothy, you've been an awesome intern. But now I want you to go lead the revival church. I want you to go pastor the revival church. Timothy's like, well, I've been on missions. I'm running letters to other churches. You know, you want me to go pastor the revival church, like the mega church? You want me to do that at a very young age? Do you not think that had some fear that crept into his heart as he was presented with that new challenge of life? He's running along with Paul. You know, they have this great relationship. He's a spiritual father to him. He probably wants to stay around him and continue to learn. And Paul's like, no, 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 no. I need you to go pastor this church right now. And so that required a shift. And so we see in the book of Timothy that Paul actually starts to speak encouragement to him to confront some of those fears in his heart, so that he can carry forth the assignment that Jesus is calling him into. And so what are some of those hindrances, you know, of fears of the unknown? Maybe it's finances and growth in certain aspects of your life, you know, in certain times of your life. If, you know, you've been working and you got a family and things like that. Finances are a real thing, guys. They're not like unimportant. Like, Jesus spoke on those, like, a lot, you know? And so, a lot. And so, but maybe those things are things that he's calling you into. What is he calling you to do with that? Maybe that creates fear, you know, especially the fear. If I respond to Jesus rightly and what he's saying, then I'm going to miss out on financial growth in this period of my life. And so others can be like missed opportunities. Well, if I do this, Jesus, then I'm going to miss out on this opportunity. You know, many opportunities that are coming. If I choose to do this, then I'm missing out on whatever it is, you know. And for young people sometimes, you know, that can be a lot. You know, well, if I do this, maybe I'll miss out on, you know, if I put off my college or something like that for a couple of years, then maybe I'll miss out on this thing, you know, maybe I'll miss out on having fun in school or this or that or whatever it may be, you know, and it doesn't have to be that. I'm just giving one example of things. Or maybe it's a lack of confidence or you're intimidated by just outside opinions, you know, whatever it may be, you know. So, but whatever it is, Jesus is calling us into a deeper relationship and it's requiring a new level of our responsiveness in our heart and our obedience. And so I just want to reemphasize this too. Like, if you feel like you're hearing like a harsh voice inside of your head, like speaking to you, like you have to do this. Like, I've never heard Jesus really speak like that to me, or the Holy Spirit or the Father. I don't really see him speaking like that. That voice of just a harsh taskmaster. You know, there are places that he invites us into, you know, that requires sacrificial love and affectionate, and our heart should be an affectionate-based obedience. Because when it gets into that, it gets into more of legalism, and you're like, hey, I'm trying to work this out in my own strength. You know, and there's not to say that, like, he won't call you into things that actually require work. I mean, so many people that want to be in ministry on, you know, maybe Sunday or the big event on like Saturday or something like that. But then like Monday through Friday, when you have to do the stuff, they don't want to show up, you know? And so that's the things that it may be requiring of you, you know? And so those are deeper places. And so I feel in this as well, just prophetically for our church, as we kind of look through those verses, he talks about songs of awakening can be heard, you know, different songs. And I really feel that, prophetically speaking, I feel like the Lord is challenging us in that area to write our own songs, to create the new sound for this region, to capture, not to just so that we can have a CD or that we can say, hey, we created this or anything about that at all, but more so that it is about that we are capturing what the Lord is doing locally in our midst, that we can sing it out, that we can play it, or whatever it is, as a testimony to who he is, to prophesy over a region, that we can see where God is calling us to go, and we can sing it in the now and stand in that place and bring heaven to earth. And so I really feel like he's calling us into those songs of awakening. And to kind of emphasize this, I felt like I'm just going to read this song out. I woke up with this. A lot of times the Lord wakes me up with songs. And so I know, Tracy, you've talked about that a lot as well. But when I wake up, sometimes I hear like songs in my head. It's like you ever Bumblebee, the Transformer, or whatever, he speaks in like songs and radio station. I feel like that's what's going on in my head, like 24/7, like all the time. And so these are the lyrics to this song, and I woke up, and it's called Prepare the Way. We've heard the revival stories of ancient and old time glory. Spirit of God, come do it again. Miracle working power, moving in signs and wonders. Spirit of God, come do it again. Prepare the way, he's coming through. Ready or not, our God's on the move. We're going to see heaven on earth. Come, Holy Spirit, awaken your church. Yeah. God, you're just getting started. A testimony of more to come. Spirit of God, come do it in us. We join in faith of heaven and prophesy your kingdom here on earth. Spirit of God, come do it in us. So this song is prophesying of a move that is here and yet to come. And so they're standing in that place, singing destiny into today. And so I think in the same way, we're called to do that. And so moving on down through this, and I'm going to speed up here just a little bit. And so I got like 10 minutes. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
All right. Hanging in there. Thank you. All right. And so verse 14, who can recite that? If you're in the chop house, you're probably tired of me saying that over and over and over again. You're probably like, man, get over it, T, move on. And so anyway, he starts saying in this verse, you know, oh, my dove, come away. And so he starts to say in the secret places, he wants to hear her voice in prayer and in worship. And I really feel there's a couple of things. And as I was out there yesterday, standing, I could feel as I was with the Love Life and we're standing on that Planned Parenthood property, you could feel the warfare in the atmosphere. You could feel the tension in the air. Even, I mean, like both unseen and unheard, but also heard and felt as well, as we had people driving by. Some of them were, you know, giving us a thumbs up. Some of them were giving us another finger. You know what I mean? Some of them were honking and saying, woo, you know, and some of them were honking and probably saying some not so nice things as well. And so there was a real battle there. And so one of the things I felt like God was just highlighting as we stood there was that active intercession. And that's the type of intercession that Jesus entered into. He didn't just stay in heaven and pray, but he prayed and he went. He came down to earth to actively intercede on our behalf, to become a guilt offering for sin for all of us. And so I felt like it was active intercession. It's both in the place of prayer, but it's also moving out into the community, into the places where there needs to be more light. And so I felt like that active intercession. And I felt like it was also evangelism, that he's calling us to evangelism, you know, to proclaim the gospel. Maybe that looks differently in this season. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I really feel like there is an emphasis on evangelism and soul winning. You know, that he wants to win souls. This is one of the things that we will not get to do in heaven, is we don't get to win souls there. You know, when the New Jerusalem comes down, we don't get to win souls there. This is this side of eternity that we get to do this. And so there has to be an emphasis on that, and I really feel like there is a strong emphasis there. And even with the women there, is to, you know, just seeing things in the future, I'm like, Lord, what if one of these women gets saved? We want to be a refuge. We want to be a place where they can come, that they can run to the church, that they can have the resources that they need, because most of them maybe feel like they don't have hope to take care of a baby or whatever reason it may be. But we want to provide those things. And I want to step into that place of saying, God, I don't know exactly how to do this, but I think it's possible with you to do it, to be able to set up resources for them, you know, diapers, clothing, things that they might need. Maybe they need healing for their soul or for their minds. You know, what about those who have had the abortions that need healing from that trauma? The redemptive nature of God to come and touch those places in their life. We want to provide that. We want to be ministers of reconciliation and bridge builders.
Yeah.
In Isaiah, it's called the repairers of the breach. You know, those who restore the city. Mm-hmm. We want to be those type of people for our community.
Yeah. Amen.
And so I think as well, the little foxes. So the second F, foxes. As we are being called into come away in these deeper things, that there are areas of compromise that Jesus wants to speak to you about. Are there areas of compromise in your life? And so I'm not speaking, you know, compromise sometimes doesn't always seem like something that's bad. I remember going to YWAM, sitting in the prayer room there, and just listening to the voice of the Lord, and he says, hey, I want you to stop looking at, like, soft porn. I'm like, I don't look at porn, Jesus. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what is that? I actually had to Google it to find out, like, what that actually is. And what it was is the little sexual innuendos that are in sitcoms that we watch and we laugh at. And we're like, ha-ha, that's funny. And Jesus is like, no, I take this really seriously. I don't want your eyes gazing upon that. The little foxes that destroy the relationship. He speaks to those little areas that hinder relationship. And so those things aren't always bad. Sometimes it can be distractions. TV, I know right now it's easy to veg out and just watch and stream shows. You know, it's not a lot going on. You know, and so how many of you just sit down and boom, hey, I want to have a bag of Doritos and watch the show, cut the brain off. You know, maybe God is speaking to you about that. I know he's speaking to me personally about it. Hello, you know, so I'm preaching to myself. And so foxes. Let's get that up there. Yeah, so when we ask for wisdom, God promises he will give it lavishly. And so he doesn't say you have to do this alone, but he says, I can give you wisdom for that. And it doesn't have to be a blanket statement for the body of Christ. He may just be speaking it personally to you. So don't try to get so high and mighty that you're saying, oh, God has called me to this, and you start judging other people.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. And so he might just be speaking it personally to you. And so he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so moving on down here, closing out, verses 16 through 17, her response here. And this isn't a bad thing. He doesn't run away and say, oh, I'm leaving you, the marriage is off. Like, you didn't respond to me right, we're done. He didn't give up on it. He continues to speak to her tenderly and call her away to these high places, even though her initial response was just, hey, I can't do this right now. You know, and so that's the first thing, is she tells him to go away to the mountain of spices. And so what were dead people in the old days? What did they put on their body to keep them from stinking? Spices. This speaks of the costly things that Jesus asked us to do. The cross was costly for him. When the Father asked him to leave heaven and go down and be a guilt offering, you know, that was costly. Costly is his love. And costly sometimes are the things that he calls us to do. When I responded to him and I said, yes, I will go away and do this missions thing with you, that cost me finances, it cost me friends, it cost me a job, it cost me my car, it cost me my home and a way of life. And so I was telling my wife before we got married, we were going through our finances, and I discovered one of my W-2s, and I'm looking at it, I was like, $6,000? I was like, how did I make it? You know, like, how did I do that? Like, on support raising, I was like, I was broke and doing it really wrong. You know, and like, but God, like, helped me come through that season, a challenging season, and said, saying yes to him, you know, of like having these events where I'm seeing, you know, I went from doing youth ministry and college ministry and seeing like maybe 10, 20 people in a room to seeing 1,000+ kids packing a room filled out, yelling and encountering Jesus. And then going home that night and like, man, I just have a bologna sandwich to eat, you know? And so it's costly. And so, and there's lots of failures and mistakes in there. And so I want to speak to that F, failures. So when you doubt yourself or your ability to succeed, remember Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God knows. He knows. He is not saying that you are defined by your failures. You are not defined by that. So our future is not defined by our failures. And the future, if God calls you to it, he will help you. For his word promises this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if he calls you to it, Holy Spirit is going to help you walk through it and help you complete it, because he's going to work something on the inside of you until it is bigger than what is on the outside of you that is in lack. And so he is going to build something resilient on the inside of you that is going to carry you into the future that he is calling you into.
Yes.
And so be confident in that. And know this, that as we're singing that, anything is possible, that you are unstoppable.
Yeah.
You with God are unstoppable. Mm-hmm. We with God as a church are unstoppable. As we were out at Planned Parenthood yesterday, here's the thought that came into my mind. We're out there where they're doing child sacrifices. Let's call it for what it is. Let's call it murder for what it is. You know what I mean? And bad decision making. And so we're there in this place. And so I'm thinking that, hey, man, Jesus, you were standing in a place like this when you said something about your church. He was standing at a pit where they were sacrificing babies to Pan, the god Pan. They were throwing them into this cavern and sacrificing. And he's setting up there in that place and speaking to his disciples. And he's saying, I'm going to set my church up in this place. And the gates of hell literally will not prevail.
Wow.
My ecclesia will be a governing body that will stand in this place, that will stand in the darkest places, and will execute the judgments of God. That will bring forth the kingdom into Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
All we need is for people to stand.
Amen.
And so why don't we just go ahead and stand here as it's 12 o'clock. I'm going to close out. And so anything is possible with him, God. And just remember the example. I love this. I tell you, I learn things when people pray. I listen because I pick up on things that I normally would not hear. And so the other day, as we were praying, this is the one that came out, that Jesus is the Father's alabaster jar.
Wow. That's good.
He left the comfort of heaven and he poured it all out. And what we do here is only a shadow of what he has already done for us. And so he was the very best that the Father had to offer. And the Father did not spare him, that he took him, broke him open, and poured out his life. And so, as we close out here, I just want to read from, man, hopefully it comes up. Anyway, in Isaiah, it talks about Jesus going forth and being an example here. And so, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide with him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. A lot of times it says that he interceded for rebels, and I love that version. So John 3:16, we all know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave up the best thing. And so Jesus left his comfort zone, and I believe he's not calling us to do anything that he has not already done. And so there are things, church, I feel like that he is going to call us into this season. And this doesn't have to be a scary message, but I think it is a challenging message for us to step into boldness, because I think that God has great things and great areas for us to come away with him in, into the areas of social justice and racial reconciliation, into the areas of the human trafficking, into the areas of abortion and these areas, into the place of prayer and growth, and seeing us here in this city and seeing the kingdom of God advance. And so why don't we just lift our hands to heaven right now and just close out like this. Father God, I just thank you so much that you're speaking right now. And I feel like even to some in this room, there are just new challenges that you are speaking to us and calling us to come away into deeper partnership with you.
We thank you that we can trust you, that you are a good leader, that if you are calling us into it, Lord, that we can run away with you. So Jesus, I thank you that you are calling. It might not be safe, guys. You know, at certain times, I don't want to sit here and just say all the time it's going to be safe or all the times it's going to be glorious. I'm not going to preface it like that or lie to you, you know. But the reward is great. The reward is great. And so, Father God, I thank you for all those that are out there who are just saying yes, who have said yes already, God, that they're taking steps towards you. I thank you that you're speaking tenderly. Would you draw them into this place? Would you show them the new places that you're calling them to go away with you? And I thank you that with you, anything is possible. Anything is possible with you, God. So we just speak love and encouragement to those places that they are going with you higher in the spirit, Lord. And we just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.